This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
News story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day, Michael. The Dolphins are benching Tua Tagovailoa in favor of Quinn Ewers. Ewers' first start will come Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals, according to ESPN. He served as the team's backup quarterback for its Week 7 loss to the Cleveland Browns, briefly entered the game, but has otherwise been the Dolphins' emergency quarterback. Man, I really thought that Miami, with Mike McDaniel, had kind of turned it around. Like, they were starting to turn it around, and they were going to say, like, if you're Miami, you know what? You finish the season strong. We're gonna bring you back. But that loss to Pittsburgh kind of erased a lot of that goodwill. Do you think he'll be back next year with Miami? I mean, they're 6-8. The loss did eliminate Miami officially from playoff contention.
Not a good knock.
Is he back? I mean, you're seeing all. Listen,
what does his contract look like? Does he have one?
Yeah, I mean, I think. Well, they're locked up with. They're locked up in his with their quarterback, with Tua. So Mike McDaniel's contract. He signed a 3-year contract extension in August of 2024. He's under contract through the 2028 season. So. Listen, he's a strange guy. He comes across as like a strange dude. I'm kind of a fan of him. You know, I like the whole sobriety thing and staying strong with that. Like, you always got to respect people like that, right? But is it harder to take the capri pants and the weird post-game comments and all that stuff when he's struggling? Or if you're Miami, do you consider bringing him back? And Quinn Ewers, of course, was a stud for Texas, and he was ultimately a 7th-round pick. The Dolphins picked him in 2025 with the 231st pick. He's going to get his shot. Man, the Dolphins, we talked about it, but it was like that trajectory after the Dolphins smoked the Broncos. The Broncos since have been really freaking good. And the Dolphins have just kind of slowly fizzled away. And obviously Tyreek Hill was a big part of their plans, and that didn't work out this season. So the Dolphins are making a quarterback change after being eliminated from playoff contention officially, and Tua did not look good. Nobody looked good. I didn't watch that game. I was on the Nuggets game. I was on the Nuggets game that officials are still talking about. The NBA on Tuesday said officials made 3 incorrect calls in the last 2 minutes of overtime. So was Udoka right? Does he get fined now? Now that he called out the officials, and they're saying they made 3 incorrect calls in the last 2 minutes of overtime, all favoring the Nuggets. Udoka, of course, said that Zach Zarba, the crew chief, was starstruck, and two of the officials didn't have any business being out there. He said it was the most poorly officiated game I've seen in a long time. According to NBA's last 2-minute report, fouls against the Rockets' Kevin Durant and Amen Thompson should not have been called, and one against Denver's Tim Hardaway Jr. should have been called. Durant was called for a foul after blocking Joker's shot attempt with 1:40 left in overtime, which gave the Nuggets star a pair of free throws, put Denver up 126-121. The NBA said Tuesday that that was, in fact, a lie. It was a clean block. Then, with over 1 minute left, Hardaway got away with a shove of Şengün that should have resulted in a loose ball foul, according to the report. And then finally, with 47 seconds left, the Nuggets are up 126-122. Thompson should not have been called for a personal foul against Jamal Murray on a steal attempt. The call resulted in two free throws for Jamal Murray. I'm trying to think, man. There's so much going on.
I like the transparency.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It is what it is. We've seen games go against the Nuggets. We've seen games like this go for them. Too bad.
Can they change some of this?
No. Like, well, can they change the result of the game? No.
Yeah, like if the Nuggets clearly got the win because some egregiously bad calls, would the NBA be able to change it?
Denver was up when they started getting the calls.
I know, but if it was like 100-100, and then suddenly the refs like lost their mind.
If it was 100-100, and there were three definitive calls that led the score to be 106-100, and the team that won was the benefactor of that, I guess that could be interesting. But if you can, because again, in this situation, you can't, because Denver was up. So then you're theoretically assuming that the Rockets go down and score. You can't do that. But if, like you're saying, if it's a tie game, or if the team that gets the benefit of the doubt was down, and you can say three calls specifically gave them the lead and then the game was over, then I suppose that's worth a discussion. But I don't think the NBA is going to go for it. I don't think they would. Well, the Nuggets got away with some. You win some, you lose some.
Are these refs going to be punished? Because I'd like to see that happen.
I don't see anything on that right now.
The punishment might just be the embarrassment, and that's at least something.
Yeah. Well, you know, Denver was up at the time, so that's all I'm going to say. Adam Silver, for the first time, according to ESPN, laid out a definitive timeline for domestic expansion, saying a decision would be made on whether to proceed sometime in 2026. He said, I'd say in terms of domestic expansion. Why can't you just say expansion?
Can't you just say Seattle?
That is something we're continuing to look at. It's not a secret we're looking at this market in Las Vegas. We're looking at Seattle. I don't know why anyone would want to play basketball there. We've looked at other markets as well. I'd say I want to be sensitive there about this notion that we're somehow teasing these markets, because I know we've been talking about it for a while. Well, Vegas seems to be the answer, although you're not getting like a real fan base, but you are going to get arenas sold out, because it's the thing to do.
Their Golden Knights fan base is pretty.
So why did the Golden Knights fan base work and the Raiders didn't work, or hasn't worked so far? Is it because the Raiders have sucked since they moved to Vegas?
Well, it's not just that. It's the Golden Knights started as Las Vegas / Paradise, because I believe that's where the stadium is, in Paradise, mm-hmm. not Las Vegas, the mm-hmm. city.
Okay. And so that's why it's worked?
Yeah, because it started as Las Vegas. That's their team, not like, oh, the tourists who came here from Oakland.
Well, I worried about that from the beginning, from the jump. This is why I was like, you know, when you get Gruden, because Gruden was there when they moved, right? And then that whole thing, the thing went down, all the stuff went down. And you remember when I was talking about the Raiders drafting Shedeur Sanders? Like, if you're wanting to give your fan base a boost in the arm, a shot in the arm, not a boost, not a booster shot, just a shot, I thought that might be interesting to see him go that route. But it just hasn't worked. I do think if you get a team from the beginning in expansion, you have a better chance, because now you've got a team that's already developed a fan base. Because maybe there are some that are like, we're now Las Vegas. Do we want to be Las Vegas Raiders fans? Because they were Oakland, and they were Los Angeles, and they were Oakland, and they were Los Angeles, and now they're Vegas. What's to say they're not going to leave Vegas? You know, this is an organization that moves around quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a dumpster fire of an ownership. The reason why Avs fans are so loyal is because the Avs
started off first time, right? When they were in Colorado, they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, one of the best trades ever was the Patrick Waugh trade.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
So, like, I don't mean to say that, you know, Golden Knights fans are better than Avs fans, but that's two different types of
loyal
fan bases begin.
Well, and the Golden Knights were really, you know, really damn good right off the bat, too, right?
Yeah, well, that's the way hockey works. Hockey, they decide to make the expansion teams really good from the start, which I hate.
He did go on to talk about Europe, too. This is where I kind of have a little bit of a problem with this. I'm not saying have a league there, but I don't like the idea of them cross, like, playing each other, and it means something, and then the playoffs, and because travel and all that. Said Adam Silver said, as I've said before, domestic expansion, as opposed to doing a new league in Europe, is selling equity in this current league. If you own 1/30 of this league, now you own 1/32 of if you've add two teams. So it's a much more difficult economic analysis. In many ways, it requires predicting the future. I just think you got to focus on your own game right now. I think they got to focus on the NBA, because you and I can go rounds on the NBA. I love watching the NBA, but I also acknowledge there are issues with the NBA. Not the issue you bring up, the foul calling issue, the star treatment issue. Honestly, just the style of play now. I saw Penny Hardaway talking about this, saying he's disgusted with how it's basically three-pointers or dunks. And that's not every team. That's not like the Nuggets. It's when your best player is your center, but he can play point, it's not all threes. But that certainly is where team, and Denver does fall back on that sometimes. But you have a style of play right now that's being rewarded, kind of like in the NFL, when they want offense explosion, they make it harder on defenses. So in the NBA, they want to reward you for taking the three ball and essentially, well, trying to get inside too. And they're calling fouls like crazy down there too. So, you know, hey, if I don't have an open look from three, I'm not going to waste time at a mid-range jumper. I'm going to try to get into the paint. And if I don't make it, there's a good chance I'm going to get a foul call. So the NBA has changed their rules to alter that. So they want to incentivize you to shoot the three or get into the paint. They're trying to incentivize the three more than anything. So I think there needs to be more looks into the current structure of the league and the way officials are officiating games and the way, like a Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, I'm sorry, he's a phenomenal player, but he's not necessarily good for the NBA. When every fan base outside of OKC, every fan base argues about star treatment. But I don't think collectively the entire NBA out of OKC fans agrees that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander is a free throw merchant. Games I watched closely with him, and we watched a lot of them when they were in the playoffs with him last year, you definitely saw it. You definitely saw it. That he gets a lot more calls, even with those mid-range jumpers, than a lot of players do in the league. And I see a guy like Joker who, you know, people say he's starting to get benefit of the doubt. Okay, but man, I still see his arms just absolutely tattered and bruised. And I look down and I go, he had 2 free throw attempts? He had 5 free throw attempts? And the guy looks like he needs stitches on his arms. I just think the focus needs to be on your league first. What did the NFL do? They perfected their NFL game here, where it was untouchable. And then they started to play overseas. And then they started to talk expansion, and obviously getting the Houston Texans in. Focus on, I know you want to get more markets. And Seattle, all kidding aside, Seattle does deserve a market. They had a great market. The Supersonics were a storied franchise.
The city just wouldn't build a stadium for them. Now they have a new stadium. They're just waiting.
Yeah. It probably will happen in Seattle and maybe even Vegas. If the league chooses to move forward with expansion, I would believe the heavy favorites to land teams are Seattle and Las Vegas.
And maybe Kansas City. You think?
I don't know.
Missouri's got they've got baseball, they've got football.
And they got their college basketball scenes pretty good too. So that's a good one. That would be a good one. Yeah, I like the idea of expansion for a team inside the country before we start talking about Europe and leagues over there and where they play their league and then they could end up in the NBA playoffs. No, I don't like the idea of the Nuggets having to play, you know, they play their first two games in Denver and then they have to go over to wherever and play two games. I don't like that.
I would rather them have one in Mexico City than in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Because at least the travel's not as bad.
And the time change and all that stuff is not absolutely wacky.
Yeah.
I would be open to something like that.
Now, they'd probably lose a couple players to being kidnapped because Mexico, lots of kidnapping stuff.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, I don't think. But then the other question is, who wants to go play there? Who wants to go play even in Britain or Mexico or whatever? Who wants to go play there?
You'd have to have a lot of money.
Like, you know the story of Kawhi Leonard. He goes to Canada. I just watched this podcast with Fred Van Fleet talking about how, he was like, why the hell did we trade for him? I guess he told Fred, like, right off the bat, I ain't staying here. They got him for a trade, and he had 1 year left on his contract out of San Antonio. And Kawhi's already telling teammates, like, I don't know why they traded for me, because I'm not staying here. Well, they just won a championship with him. So for Toronto, it's kind of like, it was worth it. You won a title. You have a title now that's forever there. And you risked big. But Canada, like, do American players want to do that? Is that going to work? And if these college kids get drafted to a team, to a European team, now suddenly, okay, I'm moving away. And some players go overseas and play anyway, but that's certainly a kind of somewhat of a sacrifice you're taking.
Yeah, it's better to have what you had with NFL Europe when that existed. Like, you already have that, don't you? So keep that separate.
Yeah.
Don't try to expand the NBA like this. This is another dumb idea.
Adam Silver is not a very good commissioner, Mike. He's just not. He's too creative. He's too creative. I like creative commissioners, but he's too creative. He's throwing out. He needs to go to the NCAA. Throw out some of that creativity at the NCAA because they don't do anything there. They just sit on their hands and wait for the monies to come in. Adam Silver might do well in the NCAA. Throw out ideas all the time to try to fix something.
But good ones. Some of these Adam Silver ideas are bad.
The NBA, we just don't need the cup. The Knicks won it. I was watching college basketball last night. I like watching the NBA. But the cup, it's so dumb. I hate it with everything in me.
Was there some kind of celebration? Were they all like, woo, oh, let's take off our shirts and celebrate? Or was it just
the
like,
clips I've seen, they stood around their little trophy and it was like, yay, good job, guys.
Did they seem like actually excited or was it just like
from the clips
obligated?
I saw, they seemed excited. They seemed excited. They beat the Spurs and Wimby. Of course, Wimby looked really down, but that was because he had just lost his grandmother. And so he was really emotional and he was barely talking. And he was talking about how, hey, he was basically saying it's good to learn this lesson in a game like this, to lose this game rather than lose the games in the playoffs. It's good to, learn that now. Brett McMurphy came out. We talked about this earlier. The ACC, Big 12, and SEC all have announced in 2026 they will require their teams to play 10 power conference games, 9 league games, plus 1 non-league power four game. The Big Ten has yet to do that. The Big Ten has not made that announcement yet. So much for solidarity between the top four. Top four can't even agree on everything. So they're at odds, too. You got Notre Dame pissed off at the ACC. You got the Big Ten not going along with the ACC, Big 12, and SEC. Where's the boss, man? You ever see that sitcom, Who's the Boss?
That was a great sitcom when I was a kid.
Who's the Boss, starring the NCAA? I truly believe that one centralized figure that's halfway decent could come in and we sign off on it. Yeah, but that's the thing. You got to get all the conferences to sign off on that too. Like, we're going to make you judge, jury, and executioner. It might never happen. Do you think Notre Dame would sign that? Do you think Notre Dame would sign off on somebody coming in to make the rules?
They made the rules for Notre Dame.
Well, one of the rules should be, if you're a centralized figure, is you have to be in a conference. No more independence. This is dumb. If it's weird to an outsider, it's weird.
I think if it gets bad enough for Notre Dame, then they might float the idea of having an actual guy or an actual committee.
Yeah, but Notre Dame's already being told they're going to be in the playoffs if they finish in the top 12. They're already being given a privilege that nobody else is being given yet, according to Notre Dame's athletic director.
And it shouldn't be like that. It should be everyone in the top 12 gets there.
Well, yeah, but that's what they're saying. If Notre Dame is in the top 12...
And if Notre Dame's not in the top 12, then you can screw.
How do you even do that if you keep the playoff structure the way it is and Notre Dame's in the top 12? That goes against the current playoff structure. Because 11 and 12 might not get in if they're not conference champs.
Yeah, if the playoff structure remains the way it is, then I don't see Notre Dame getting... Like, there should not be a guarantee for Notre Dame. They can... I'm sorry, you guys can go screw yourselves. I don't like that. You're not that important.
Aaron says, European,
for all your money.
European basketball is probably the reason I watch basketball. Still, I got tired of the American game years ago. And it has not gotten any better. Keep the NBA out of Europe. Yeah, you would start to water down that product, too. Because what's going on in the NBA right now? The best players are not... Like, most of the best players are not American. The top two MVP guys, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, is Canadian. Joker, Serbian. Luka is... What is he? Something like that. Lithuanian? I don't know.
I think Slavic?
Slavic?
Yeah, he was born in... He's Slovenian, I think.
Slovenian.
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
Whatever that is.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know my globe that well. But I just know that the players that are coming over here now are a lot of the ones that are dominating overall. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043.
Slovenia is adjacent to Serbia.
What?
Slovenia is adjacent to Serbia.
Oh, thank you, Mike. Texter from the 970. Brady, if you want to know why the NBA has the cup, ask yourself this. Where is the NBA trying to grow viewership? The answer is everywhere but here. A midseason cup tournament is an idea straight out of Euro soccer leagues. Silver is trying to appeal to fans across the pond. But do fans across the pond care about the cup? I'm curious. I'd be curious to see some ratings on that. If you really want to keep doing the cup, I'm telling you, if you want to make the cup worth a damn, you have to make it mean something more than what it's doing. It literally does nothing for the fan. It does nothing for the fan. I could care less if the Nuggets win a cup because I only want them to win the NBA championship. If you could ask me right now, would you rather the Nuggets win the cup and then go on to have a phenomenal season? And no, that's a dumb hypothetical because of course I want them to win the. I guess basically like Brady, do you care if the Nuggets win the NBA cup or not? I do not. You could ask me right now, Brady, what if we give you that? Guaranteed the Nuggets will win the cup. Would you take it? No. I don't care. If it's coming down to me, I don't care. Write me down as pass. I don't care.
I would take it, melt it down, sell all the valuable parts, and then hope that the Nuggets win the championship.
Texter here.
Championship's the only important part.
Texter here from Eastside Chris. Las Vegas has the ability to bring in the away fans who pencil them in for vacation. Yeah, that's what you... If you're bad, you still can guarantee that you're going to get fans that are like, hey, there's a game in Vegas that weekend. We could go bet on it and then go to that. That could be we go to that instead of Wayne Newton or whatever. We go to a football game. That's what they're building there. Unless like the Raiders suddenly, bam, they're good, then you start building on that. But they're a train wreck. They're in no hurry to grow a fan base there. In Las Vegas, 29 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
For Hall of Fame Preps Talk, listen to Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place. after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder.
Wait, why you gotta ruin things? No. Why you gotta ruin things? You know?
I don't. The song's not that good anyway.
It's a really good song. That's a great. Hooligans. What is it? Good Morning No Cut? A smash or trash? You smash that song. You absolutely smash that song. That's a great song.
Hang on, I got to get the sound clip.
You can't find it. Brian's way faster than you. Wow. Brian would have had
this.
It's
not on your button bar here.
He would have had this in like 2 seconds.
Trash alert. Trash alert.
It's not trash.
Trash alert.
No.
This song is trash.
Just because it's not raging death metal screaming about, you know, vampires and gothic knights doesn't mean that it's, you know, bad music. Just because that's not what you're into. Mike, the new Greeley Utility Portal is here. It's packed with tools to help you save time, water, and some bucks. You can explore rebates for high-efficiency toilets and irrigation. Paying your water bill is much easier. You can set up. Setup takes just a couple of minutes. Sign up at greeleyco.gov/my-utilities to get started. You can easily flush down a lot of the crap Michael says here on the show. I mean, that you clog so many hypothetical or whatever toilets out there, Mike, it's not even funny with some of the things that you say.
I clog hypothetical toilets.
Yeah. You'd agree with that.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Faith says smash. There you go.
Faith, we're going to have to disagree on that.
Well, because it's not your weird, you know, gather around the fire and throw dolls into it, goth mosh pit fire style music.
I don't know what the hell that means.
You know that's what kind of music. When I walk back there, it's like I feel like I'm walking into like Dracula's lair is when I go back to your office. That's what I feel like. I expect you to be like rising out of a coffin with the music that's playing back there. That's
no, that's just how I feel in the morning.
That's how it
rising
sounds
out
to
of
me.
A coffin.
And then you're playing with your Legos back there and your Starship Troopers.
That's not a bad movie.
Do you have any issue with people putting up Christmas decorations? Like,
yes.
Do you have an issue with it? You do?
I'm kind of a bah humbug person.
So a person and your neighbor puts up Christmas decorations, you want them to take you're going to hope that they take them down.
Yes.
That's so dumb. There's a place in Severance. They put up a giant Santa Claus, and it like is a welcome into the neighborhood near one of the offshoots in Severance. There, giant, like 30 foot tall Santa Claus. It's awesome. And the HOA came in, told them to take it down.
Now I hope they put it back up.
See, that's what I'm saying. You're part of the problem, though, because you're the
HOAs.
Old guy. It's like take down Christmas lights. I want them to take it down.
I don't force them to
the
take it
HOA's down. HOA's representing people like you, though.
No, they don't represent me.
Curmudgeon-y.
Like if I don't like something, I might go to the person and say,
curmudgeon-y,
hey,
I don't like anything that I don't like, and you shouldn't be happy, even though you don't like the things that I like, which is goth metal.
No, I'm not going to force my views onto other people. I might express it, but I'm not going to force it.
People like that bitch and moan about Christmas lights being put up, and then the HOAs come in and say, yeah, people don't really like a lot of Christmas lights up, and they darn sure don't like 30 feet Santas, so we're going to have to ask you to take it down.
I hate HOAs. Their HOAs are run by people with power, like people who want power, more power.
We have an HOA, but it's like really relaxed.
See, I mean, like those people.
It's, you know, it's
pull the weeds.
Yeah,
don't
and even then, it's kind of relaxed there. You know, I like it. It's pretty cool.
Like if your crap's going on the lawn of someone else, like someone else's lawn. that I can understand the HOA doing that, but like let someone put up their Christmas
like,
lights.
The neighborhood around, like most people, I believe, because I read it was like on a whatever those Facebook posts you get. I don't know why I saw it, but I saw it. And like the neighborhood around is like, this is awesome. Our kids love walking by and seeing the giant Santa Claus, and it's not messing up anybody's view or whatever. Who cares if it is? Go live in Amish country with Tanner if you want to look at the mountains and the cornfields and stuff. You know, if you're living in town, your view's ultimately going to get blocked at some point. And you just have to live with that. Faith says my dad called HOA herd of a-holes.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Listen, man, they're only up for a short time. Like, we've gone to look at Christmas lights almost every, my kid wants to go out and look at Christmas lights almost every night. We get in the car, we go get some chicken nuggets and a milkshake, and we drive around and we look at Christmas lights.
Now, I would go and look for Christmas lights if it included nuggets and a milkshake.
That's part of the reason we get them there. Oh, they did? They resurrected it? Tanner was all over the story, apparently, this morning. I listened to most of the show today, but I didn't catch that part.
Good for them.
They resurrected Santa and Severance. Tanner was all over the story. Well done, Tanner. Well done. Tanner got it. He got the scoop. Thank you for that. Susan and Cheryl love it. Are they back there? Nope. Rough morning for them. They might have to check out that hangover breakfast going on at Big City Roadhouse on New Year's Day.
Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse. 12:40 the time. Broncos, Jags. Also, Jim Mora, the excitement is still there for me, but have we got off to the best of starts with the fan base? I've got the story of Tyson Summers. We talked about that yesterday, but a lot of people still entering the transfer portal, including guys like Tanner Morley, and almost all of the starting offensive line, Christian Martin, Aaron Karras, and AU is what I'm calling him because I've never been able to pronounce his name, and I'm not going to try right now. Yurion Barrenchia, I did try. They're all expected to enter the portal, and they put portal graphics up on their social medias about their move to the portal. Morley, 6'7", 325-pound guard. He played in only four games in 2025 before suffering a knee injury and missing the rest of the season. That one kind of sucks because he's a local guy, Valor Christian graduate. He was voted a team captain for the 2025 season. So you got a bunch of offensive linemen that are leaving. You decided to stick with Tyson Summers. And I said yesterday, I think we convinced ourselves that this was an okay move to bring back Tyson Summers, at least for the season, see how it goes. But maybe not off to the... This is how it goes, though. Everybody enters the portal. And sometimes a coach isn't... A guy like Morley's probably going to get a bag somewhere. 42 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Well, you hear the ads, and of course, Steve Smiley voicing it. Renaissance Insurance. I mean, there's a lot of options out there, Mike. There's so many insurance people out there. But like Coach Smiley says, you want to go with some guys that have character and passion for what they do and honesty. You know, they'll sit down with you if you're going through your insurance plan and your needs and they're like, actually, you're on a pretty good plan right now. Are you really wanting to make that change? They're going to sit down and be honest and tell you if it's the right move or not. And those are the ones you can trust. So if you are looking to add insurance, not necessarily replace it, you already know these guys are trustworthy. That's what you're going to get at Renaissance Insurance Group, 970-674-8825. Visit them online at team-rig.com. Okay, so we gave a false Susan and Cheryl. No wonder they didn't want to cheer. He says, Chris says, apologies for my reporting. He was reporting on what Good Morning NoCo was reporting. Tanner's rage yesterday led to the onset of the resurrection. Not sure if he followed up today. Okay, so maybe we don't think Tanner reported that the big Santa Claus had been resurrected at Severance, but his rage yesterday and Brian's rage yesterday led to the Santa Claus being put back up? Yeah, well, either way, well done. 970 texting in, there's a reason CSU changed course. They stunk last year, and I generally think it was because Norvell, the recruiter, let down Norvell, the coach. Most weeks, they seemed far less talented than the opposition, so why should we be concerned if players stay or not? Well, one of those players is really good, though. I mean, Tanner Morley is a really, really good offensive lineman. So should we, dude, anytime you lose a player that's good, it's a concern. I'm not saying it's the end of the world, but there's two types of fans that view the portal. Sky is falling, and oh my gosh, we got a crew of Hall of Famers. The truth, most of the time, is somewhere in between, unless you have a major situation going on with your coaching staff where they're just not good or whatever, not good people. And guys are just like, yeah, this guy sucks. We're out. But in this case, Morley's probably a guy that's getting a bag somewhere, I would imagine. And maybe a few of these other offensive linemen, too. Because they're all hearing it. They hear it well before they enter the portal, Mike. They have these agents now that go out and about and find suitors for them before they're entering the portal, which I always thought was kind of illegal. But now that they have agents that can do it, it's not. 12:49 the time. Let's wrap up hour number one. Coming up in the final hour of the show, we got buy or sell. Sean Keeler from the Denver Post joins us in college football. Let's talk about it, Mike. Let's talk about James Madison and Tulane and how they're going to light the world on fire this weekend. Or not. Or not.
Nuggets, games, and talk. Keep it on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, welcome back in. We got Sean Keeler coming up from the Denver Post. Let's talk some Broncos and Jags. Big game. Big game coming up for the Broncos. Potentially, they win and a few other teams we need to lose. Potentially, you could clinch the number one seed this weekend. I don't know if that's going to happen, but first things first, you got to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think it's interesting. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. But Travis Etienne, he was projected to actually be the odd man out for the running back depth chart for the Jags this year. You know, he had the shoulder injury last year. They had other guys that they were high on, a rookie they were high on. And he comes in, and he's almost ran for 1,000 yards. It just goes to show you that a lot of these previews, we always get to this time of the year, and a lot of those proved to be false. Some true. The Jags corrected a very significant stat that was killing them last year that's now got them at 10-4. It's one of the big reasons. We'll talk about it coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.